This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. Well, am I happy to see you at last. And there's a lot of reports going out into this world about sudden shifts that are occurring in self-consciousnesses with some very fundamental realizations of this teaching. This is A Course in Miracles. It's a procedure that allows you to continually express an inner view of how you really look. And in the discovery of how you really look inside will be the surprise that the way you have forcibly presented yourself to this world based on an aggregation of thoughts that you have had about yourself is actually not what you are. These are teachings of instantaneous communication based on recognition of each other in the auspices of the Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The presentation that I am offering you involves the message that He has given us will give us and is giving us now. It's the simple message that necessary in your condition of the discovery of eternal peace and happiness based on the relief of the fear and loneliness that you are feeling is the forgiveness of your enemy. Your fundamental recognition and acceptance of the idea that your enemy, the associations that you saw within this configuration of time, were actually only reflections of your own mind, perhaps has made it a lot simpler for you to express in happy amazement how easy forgiveness is if it only requires forgiveness of your own thoughts. The recognition that it is only yourself that you forgive required that you accept back in the configuration of this world as you see it, ideas that you had about yourself, were fearful of holding on to, projected from you, and are now coming back to attack. This is the teachings of my Savior, Jesus Christ. In Sermon on the Mount, he showed me that in a very fundamental way, it didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter how the world looked at me to justify the grandiose actions I was taking in order to justify my ego. He showed me that as I thought, I would get the result of my action of mind. Not only would I get the result of the guilt that I felt about my so-called guilty thoughts, little theology here, I would also get the result of the guilt of pain and death that I conflict or project onto my brother in order to retain the nature of the idea of exchange, the idea of an eye for an eye, the idea that I could get even. If you've come this far with me now in the basic teaching of the recognition to lay down the defenses of your conceptual mind and invite your enemy to come and join you in the resolution that you have discovered within your own mind that assures you that a bright and happy prospect of a new realization, a purpose of why you are here is now upon you. Practice. I'm healed. Do you see what occurred just then? The moment that you determined to share that instant of joy or happiness that managed to penetrate the cloud of your defense of yourself, we began to share that moment of joy and happiness in a very fundamental way. It's a moment of forgiveness. Now, the experience that I had in regard to laying down my defenses was catastrophic. I struggled, and I'll speak of my own illumination for a minute. I struggled for many years with a deep, seething hatred of this world based on some experiences that I had 50 years ago or longer. And while I had successfully covered them with efforts to find purpose and meaning in a fundamental devastation that had left me with a recognition of the actual futility of this place, somewhere in the process of the teaching of myself, I learned it now through this course that I'm really only teaching myself, I began to experience moments connected with forgiveness in my recognition that my enemy was undergoing the same conflict and was looking for the same solutions that I was. And in the fundamental sharing that my enemy suffered as much as I did, I was able to evolve a new perspective of shared futility in the solution. And I came to a point in my life where there was no solution. And for most of us, the teaching that there was no solution was the beginning of salvation. For the direction that we turn to at the moment of no solution was the one that we knew we would have to find in order to escape the idea that we were trapped in this place of time and space. Can you see this with me? This is the point that each time you come in to me now and recognize me, you're willing to accept. Let's review. Those of you who haven't seen the quantum healing of Jesus Christ, the last script on that video indicates a little description of the point that almost all of you watching this video have now come to in your own space-time relationship. Listen. Let's look at the ordeal. The roads this world can offer seem to be quite large in number, but the time must come when everyone begins to see how like they are to one another. Men have died on seeing this because they saw no way except the pathways offered by the world, and learning they led nowhere, lost their hope. And yet this was the time when they could have learned their greatest lesson. Are you listening? All must come to this point and go beyond. To look upon the fear of God does need some preparation. Only the sane can look on stark insanity and raving madness with pity and compassion, but not with fear. This is the place to which everyone must come when he is ready. Nor is it possible to look on this too soon. Stand you here a while and tremble not. You will be ready. Let us join together in this quantum instant. Here, with the journey's end before you, you see its purpose. And it is here you choose whether to look upon it or to wander on, only to return once again. You have reached the end of an ancient journey, not realizing yet that it is over. You are still worn and tired, and the desert's dust still seems to cloud your eyes and keep you sightless. Only a little wall of dust still stands between you and your brother. Blow on it lightly and with happy laughter, and it will fall away, and you can walk into the garden that love has prepared for both of you. The scripture that was contained in that lesson from our Savior Jesus joyfully calls our attention to the fact that we are occupying a single time and space together. And in the occupation of that little instant of terror, we are able to recognize the entirety of the solution. We're going to practice just for a moment, if we can now, the idea that you would consider coming into this picture right here, the sharing of this time and place under the direction of the mind of Jesus, who in his testament says, "This is the time and place when I will be with you." Okay, he says to you, in the New Testament, the time is coming, and now is, okay, when the Son of Man will recognize through my offering, through the offering of my Savior, that the correspondence, that I was searching for was right next to me. The certainty now that we will use the mind of Jesus in this Course in Miracles and in his New Testament to represent an instant conversion in our bodies and in our minds are how the healing actually occurs, isn't it? The scripture where Jesus says, I'm going to send you out into the world to heal the sick and raise the dead is the fundamental admission of the power inherent in your idea of conceptual associations with each other, not based on any relationship with some sort of power of the universe at all, very simply because you are afraid of that power. The idea that a universal mind is not in judgment of you at all is the basic teaching of Jesus. He says very directly, as I'm offering to you, we must resolve the problems of pain and death through the recognition of a new correspondence with each other. Can you see this with me? Remember in the scripture that we did in the quantum video where Philip says in John, Philip says, Master, if you'll show us God, if you show us the manner in which, separate from each other, we can find God, we'll believe you. And Jesus says, why do you persist in an idea that the solution is not contained in the loving recognition of each other at this time and in this place? Would you mind taking a look at that scripture just a minute with me? Okay, here is Jesus' response to Philip. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you will recognize yourself as what I am, you can come to know your own Christhood. Listen, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from now on, and henceforth, ye will know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And Jesus says, Phil, have I been so long a time with you that you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? And that the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the work? Believe me that I am in my Father, and the Father in me, or else believe that the works, the miracles that I'm going to do. I find an increasing attraction in the idea that I'm going to be able to teach the message of Jesus of Nazareth based on a continuing offering of an illumination of our shared minds, so that perhaps we can begin to look at some really difficult examples of what he actually is offering you. Not 2,000 years ago, not in the idea somehow that he died in order that you could suffer death and join him in heaven, but in the very simple admission that he's alive. And it goes way beyond Christianity, because very early in my career of search for solutions, it was very obvious to me that if I was going to have to die in order to find the solution, that didn't seem very efficacious in my determination to discover the purpose for being here. So imagine our intense delight to discover that the scripture doesn't say I died, it says I live. It says I live now. And it says I am the way, the truth, and the light, and I am here at this moment representing you. Now let's look together at it. If you're going to view me from a perspective of space-time based on the references that we hold against each other in the Old Testament, of a determination to be fearful of God together and therefore represent ourselves as cowering under the idea that we perforce must protect the things that we love, when the fundamental teachings of saviorship is very basically, okay, that you have to give it away to know that you have it. Okay. Okay. Say to me, you got to give it away to keep it. One of the great learnings in the discovery of an idea, of a solution that you found, let's use turning your will and your life over to the care of God, who immediately gives you a solution that is so joyous, so full, that you immediately want to go out and share the solution, not based on the retention of your own self. Further than that, in a perspective of conceptual association, it's very possible for you to look at salvation or what I'm offering you as an idea. There's no question in your mind, you understand that if you have an idea, you have to express it to somebody else in order to be recognized in the association of your mind. This is nothing but a teaching of a continuing new communication factor based on the reduction of the distance between the cause and the effect, so you won't have to examine within your own conceptual perspective the solutions that I'm offering you. Since the solution that I am offering you in instantaneous communication is not contained in your conceptual observation of yourself, but in the collapse of that observation with an instant revealing of who you really are. Would you look at this perspective with me just for a moment? Let's look at the idea. Can you share this with me? That I am increasing with you through this message of Jesus, a power of mind to make decisions within your conceptual self based on a true reality that is possible within you, not contained within this reflection. Now, we're into healing just for a moment, because I want to show you that sickness, trust me with this, your expression of suffering, your expression of getting old, the idea that you occupy that body, the idea that there is such a thing as death, the idea that you actually occupy this little body with a hydrogen and oxygen and carbon, that you're surrounded by that nitrogen cloud, is not true. It's only an idea contained within your own mind. So let's look at the idea that wellness, being whole and perfect, is a decision that you can make, because to be sick and lonely and die is a decision that you have made and are holding on to. Listen to this. Let's look. Sickness is a defense against the truth. No one can heal unless he understands what purpose sickness seems to serve. For then he understands as well that its purpose has no meaning. Being causeless and without a meaningful intent of any kind, it cannot be at all. When this is seen, what happens? Healing is automatic, because it dispels this meaningless illusion by the same approach that carries all of them to truth and merely leaves them there to disappear. Are you listening? Sickness is not an accident. I'm back with you just for a moment to show you that nothing is by accident. Every moment in all of space-time, you justify an arrangement of antecedental thought contained within the idea that you want to represent what you think you are. And I assure you that cannot not include the idea that it's necessary for you to get old and for you to suffer loneliness and for you to lose the things that you love. And now I'm in your mind, and now I'm next to you in body, and now I'm offering you a moment of unconditional, in a literal sense, love and energy and light that's going to relieve that sickness instantly, because you see the power of decision has been returned to you. Let's represent Jesus. Say to me, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I'm going to wait. Yeah. The power to make a new decision at this time and in this place of what you are and what you can be in our newfound relationship of youth, of happiness, of joy, of memories of love contained entirely within the whole perspective continuum of the idea of time, which is going to represent what? The single instant when we came into this pain and the expansion of our determination to express with each other a single solution. Let's read just a couple of more lines of this. Listen. So, sickness is not an accident. Like all defenses, what is it? It's an insane device for self-deception. And like all the rest, its purpose is to hide reality, attack it, change it, render it inapt, distort it, twist it, or reduce it to a little pile of unassembled parts. The aim of all defenses is to keep the truth from being whole. The parts are seen as if each one were whole within itself. I'm going to look at you just for a moment, and I'm going to attempt to do a little healing here. We're going to run out of our first half hour here in just a moment. Let's look together at the perspective that you're presenting to me in the idea that you occupy that body. All right. Say to me, I'm a human being. What does that mean? What does it mean that you're a human being? What does it mean that everywhere you look, you're going to have to represent yourself in this little hovel of space-time with no innate capacity to go beyond the idea that you're locked in a frame of reference of time that I am telling you is already over? That my Savior, Jesus, who appeared with me, stayed with me in my moments of terror and loneliness and death, assuring me that if I chose, I could take the continuity of all the time and space that there has ever been in all the universe and recognize it if I would be willing, just for that moment, to give up my old historic reference of my idea of myself that had held me in my Old Testament of the idea that I could suffer and get old. Look with me. Now, let's practice just once. I am not a body. What does Jesus say? What does Paul say so beautifully in Corinthians? No, you're a spirit. The energy that you are employing and sharing together to keep yourself separate represents your capacity to affect through grievance, through pain, through loneliness, ideas that you actually are separate from each other. Now, Jesus will remind us in John 17, let's use that a minute, in his prayer to God, that he has joined forces with you in a shared wholeness to represent the energy of healing that's possible as we go out into the world together. So this Course in Miracles from the mind of Jesus is a course in forgiveness. It begins with the idea that if you hold on to that grievance, if you maintain the revengeful mode that is heretofore gratified you, in the idea there's an eye for an eye, in the idea that he deserves punishment but I don't, in the idea that I deserve punishment and he doesn't, is a fundamental admission that you have been forgiven. And as we come together now onto this ground of forgiveness, we recognize that in the act of giving, we receive, not in the reciprocal definition of what we have given. Now our minds are joined, and we can express the certainty that we had to give it away to know we still had it. So that giving and having and being are actually giving us the joy that we're feeling. We'll be back with you in just a minute. We're in these half-hour segments for television. We hope you'll stay with us. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind which we are thinking and sharing our love, so that we can say together, God bless us, everyone. This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. We're back with you now. Thank you for returning, those of you who are determined to understand the fundamental necessity that you recognize within yourself through turning your will, the idea that you could solve the problem, over to God. You began to recognize the solution that I'm offering you. The connection that our Savior makes between his presence here and now, and certainly this was shown 2,000 years ago, or whatever you think that was, is his continuing attention to what are you concerned about? I am your alternative in time. And as we get a chance to practice the new ideas of Scripture, and certainly the idea of the Course in Miracles is going to allow perhaps new scholastic approaches to the idea of what Jesus actually taught and said. I'm reminded of a variant translation. And let's look at it for a second, because I want you to share with me that nothing is in concrete. I'm always a little disturbed, and I love them very much, about the idea that somebody will take a particular scripture, and I'm faced with this all the time, and say, that's what that means, and that's only what that means. That's not true. The fundamental teachings of our Saviorship through Jesus is the scripture can only mean to you what you want it to mean, and it's not going to mean more or less than that. That should be obvious to you if you believe in the teachings of Jesus and his admonition that you're going to have to forgive your enemy. The truth of the matter is, we have no intention of forgiving our enemy. We're immediately faced with the dilemma that that's what the scripture says. Now, perhaps we can move to the point of what he really means by the idea of forgiveness. Certainly, he can't mean that this person who has done these terrible things to me must be forgiven, because that would be an injustice. He doesn't deserve forgiving, and indeed he doesn't. But forgiving has nothing to do with deserving. It has to do with the simple realization that the responsibility for seeing the world in a new perspective is only yours. Can you see this with me? The idea that Jesus offers you, that I will share my oneness with you until you can see that we are one. But I need to have you look at this with me in the scripture. When Jesus appears, undergoes his own ordeal, in his determination to find a solution, he begins to teach the solution as you are now beginning to teach the solution within your own mind. There must be a fundamental admission contained within you that the conceptual formulation of the enclosure of a human identity within a body is non-communicative. Okay, this is the teaching of the New Testament. Jesus looks at those who are around here and he said, you're not communicating. He says, you are holding yourself separate based on the old scripture of an eye for an eye. Let me bring light to you so you can recognize the harmony that's inherent in your relationships. Look with me just for a moment at one paragraph, and we'll do some more Bible in a moment, from chapter 21 of his Course in Miracles. Listen to how he views conceptual association. Let's share a little reason and perception here. Projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it, nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it's not less. Therefore, to you, it's important. What is it? It's the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. Why? Perception is a result and not a cause. Look at just for a minute with me. The drama that's being played out in the association of your mind is only with yourself, connected with yourself. Okay? The results of your projections are being recognized within the drama of your own mind in a determination to justify the figures that represent you within your own dream of death. Did I go too far for you? Standing here next to us, okay, in light, okay, is a very rapid conversion of our conceptual associations of ourselves in separate dramas of our mind that we have been playing out individually in this field of dark form. The truth of the matter is that nobody really knows who they are, why they're here, or what they're doing. You know it, and I know it. Yet we seek for solutions in our correspondences of separation, and we wonder why we can't find them. Let's look together at it for a minute. You're a body. I'll be a body with you just for a moment. Now what are we going to do? We're going to recognize each other separate from each other, find a correspondence based on our objection, and use it to represent what they are. What kind of nonsense is that? Now, once you approach that from the perspective of the limitation of the body's eyes, everything you see will only represent your determination to remain within that your own enclosure of mind. Over and over in the short physical sojourn that Jesus had here in the New Testament, he says, you're not seeing. He says, you're not hearing. He says, when you believe you see, you will not see. He says, when you believe you're hearing nothing. He says, the manifestations that you represent within your own idea of body are totally meaningless in the entirety of the love that comes from God and from what we're sharing together. Can you see that? We call, in my illumination now being shared by many of us, we call human beings, those who remain in fear and conflict, the dead ones. Did you know that? In the idea of sharing the notion that you can heal the sick and raise the dead, is nothing but the particulars that when you represent yourself as separate from what everything is, you're actually dead. And since there is no death, you actually don't exist. So the containment in your determination to represent yourself in a decision that you have made about what you want to be, all right, is why you are here. I'm now contained within your decision-making faculty, whether you like it or not, offering you my certainty of your certainty that you know better. You walk this earth with all of the particulars of the need to justify this little continuum of dark form, searching for the truth where it's not. Yet it's impossible since you have accepted the fundamental idea of the power of your own mind to make another decision not connected to the dark form that you did not make it and are now gone from here. The time will come, and did, when you will hear this from the scripture. Where we're going, you know perfectly well. You know perfectly well you're not from here. This is the offering of Jesus. You know perfectly well that you don't belong here. Okay, let's look just for a second at a description that we have for all human beings in regard to their determination to justify the grievance that they feel about other people, including their loved ones, and their need to hold on to the anger and rage and need for justice that justifies their inability to see how simple the light can be expressed that is all around them. If you lay down with me the defenses of what you think you are. Listen to this. Never forget the world the sightless see must be imagined, for what it really looks like is unknown to them. They must infer what could be seen from evidence forever indirect, and reconstruct their inferences as they stumble and fall because of what they did not recognize, or walk unharmed through open doorways that they thought were closed. Are you listening to this? And so it is with you. You don't see. Your cues for inference are wrong, and so you stumble and fall down upon the stones you did not recognize, but fail to be aware you can go through the doors you thought were closed, but which stand open before unseeing eyes waiting to welcome you. This is the whole idea of a quantum instant that you can express in a realignment of yourself within your own mind. The simple fact of the matter that your body is a construction of aggregations of thought contained within time that are off the mark. Again and again, Jesus expresses within the New Testament the term sin, and in Aramaic, let's look at it for just a moment. In Aramaic, it means very simply off the mark. It's an archery term, okay? What more would you have to be told by a whole mind that you're just missing? Now, if you just miss, you will connect it with the idea of sickness and pain and death, and you will judge it in relationship with the separation. And when you do that, you won't be able to see the light that's all around you, will you? So the offering of healing that we are going to represent to each other now is very simply this. We're going to look at each other in a new provision of light, okay? We're going to take that asymmetricism, the idea that we're not getting a true reflection of each other, and we're going to move together to the idea that we can see clearly now. Yeah, there's a light that we can see, okay, through our associations with each other if we don't try to bind ourselves in definitions that have no meaning. Can you see this with me? Okay, this is a new manifestation. Let's use the word sacred scripture for a moment. The power that you have to lay down the defenses that you employ to image your enemy and therefore retain your own enemyship with yourself, okay, is also the power that you can employ to escape from it. One of the things I learned early that brought about my illumination was my certainty that I could no longer tolerate the rage that I felt in regard to this world. Yet I had successfully covered it, okay, by projecting out from me a pretense. Okay, can you see this with me? A pretense that I had established in a real relationship that was even deeper within me. See if you can do this with me. This is the quantum video. So when I reflect back to myself, my need to justify this, I got a vision, a reflection of a previous justification, very simply because I couldn't stand the idea that finally I'd have to look at the entirety of the solution based on my fear of that moment when the time of terror took the place of love. Suddenly Jesus is with us right now, and he's going to scripture to us the idea of why are you concerned? I am here with you offering the truth of what you are. Can you see this? Let's try it together. We didn't practice, did we? Say to me, I'm not from here. No. Say to me, I'm from heaven. Yeah. You're from heaven. The Christ that is now being born in you in the rebirth of our association. What does Jesus say? You're going to be born again. That Christ is growing and emerging as a new light in you that shows you a new continuum of time where you no longer have to suffer it or suffer the consequences of separation. What am I showing you at this time and place? Before time was, and after it's over, we're going to meet in a recognition of that moment lasted just that long. I want you to listen now to what Jesus says in his new Course in Miracles, which is as old as time itself, in a description of how he is representing you. Listen. You see what you expect, and you expect what you invite. Your perception is the result of your invitation coming to you as you sent for it. Whose manifestations would you see? Of whose presence would you be convinced? For you will believe in what you manifest, and as you look out, so will you see in. Two ways of looking at the world are in your mind, and your perception will reflect the guidance that you have chosen. This is precisely the same idea as that if you accept associations outside of you reflecting back to you, they cannot not be telling you what you have told them to say to you. Can you get this with me? Just as the images that we share in time are only reflections of our own coordination of identities of power of mind contained within the illusion of space-time. So that the reflection you get back is the one that you ask for. Of course, by the time it gets back to you, first of all, you probably don't want it since you've changed your mind. And second, even if you did want it, it's already gone. So the certainty of this teaching from Jesus that you are already resurrected can be viewed by you as an instantaneous conversion. And if that doesn't represent healing of that little body form of you, what does it? Can you see this with me? Listen to what Jesus says about it. I and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And when you see me, it will be because you've invited him, for he will send you his witness if you will but look upon them. Remember always that you see what you seek, for what you seek you will find. You want to look at that with me just for a moment? When you're walking around in some sort of an objective association of your own mind, you actually believe that there's something outside of you that you can look at. You may believe that this pair of glasses, that this Coke that I sip occasionally, is actually there. That's not true. It's not there until I look at it. This is a great idea of quantum. It can only represent an instant when I wanted to see it. Okay, in no particulars is a conceptual idea of yourself actually real at any time. But I assure you that if you expect to see it, you will. What's a miracle? Don't expect to see it. If you don't formulate in your own mind solutions that you want conceptually, what will it be? Everything will always be new to you. Why? Everything is always new. If I can teach you never to accept the manner in which you previously looked at it, okay, you will always see it new. And that will show you what my mind is showing you now, that we have been renewed in spirit as we recognize the love that we share for each other. And in that renewal is the revitalization of our bodies. Look at me. Huh? Are you going to give me an old aging process? And did you look up my birth certificate? Does it say that I'm 75 years old? What kind of nonsense is that? How could I possibly be 75 years old if time is already over? Why would I want to view myself in my old association with my correspondence with you? Let's enter into a new frame of reference where we can share the joy of the healing that is occurring in our brotherhood and the idea that we can share this moment in time. Listen to a little more from Jesus. Remember always that you see what you seek, for what you seek you will find. The ego, the human mind, finds what it seeks and only that. Listen, it does not find love, for that is not what it is seeking. Yet seeking and finding are the same. Okay? And if you seek for two goals, you will find them, but you will recognize neither. You will think they are the same because you want both of them. The mind always strives for integration. And if it is split and wants to keep the split, it will still believe it has one goal by making it seem to be one. I'm going to try to explain that to you. This is the whole idea of Jesus. Okay? If I see you out there as separate from each other, I'm going to have to give you separate identities within my own mind. What a strange thing to have to do. Now, since I must do it in my split mind, all right, I will believe that you are you and that you are you, and I will base what I think I am, all right, on your separate realities. Guys, now, Jesus says, you're crazy. And the reason you're crazy is that you have split your own conceptual mind so that everyone you meet represents a continuation of that separation. So you try to come together. Jesus says there's no love here. Okay? You try to come together and represent each other as finding solutions in your separate associations. Why aren't they there? Because this isn't life. Okay, life is eternal, and in the process of giving yourself away, you will discover all around you the light and love of God that we're sharing. Now, time is passing very rapidly, and the idea that I could bring you into a holy instant where that aging process is going to be reversed, and everyone that you look at with love and understanding is going to justify the new healing that you're feeling in your mind. I hope I get to see you again real soon, because we want to continue reading this message that our Savior is offering us in the solution of your saviorship, since He is going to represent you within a time frame until you discover who you really are. So if we look together, where is Jesus standing right next to us now? He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the light, and He's not dead. And He's telling you there's no such thing as death. And in this moment of sharing the love we have for each other, we're going to find the certainty of eternal life. We'll come back in just a moment and teach from the fundamental principle that you have to give it away to keep it. Huh? That works in reverse, doesn't it? If you give someone else pain and loneliness, you're going to hold on to your own. Let's share just a moment of love as we leave each other. Remember, time is not passing, and we'll be with you in the twinkling of an eye. Because God goes with us wherever we go, God being the mind that we share and the mind that we think together with. Let's say it together. God bless us, everyone.